And 216-474-0092. Let's start off this hour with more information, more to know about the Browns, especially with the coaching change. Kevin Stefanski out yesterday. We go to the Make It Right, Call Kyle Wright hotline. You can read her every day in the plaindealercleveland.com. She is Mary Kay Cabot. Hello, Mary Kay.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We are good. We are good.
You're better than Kevin.
Well, and
we have a gig right now.
And you, too. You've got plenty to write about over the next, I don't know, year?
Yes, it never ends, really. I think we, as NFL beat writers, especially those with coaching searches and quarterback searches, we have about 2 weeks off before the start of training camp, and it's pretty much year-round these days.
Mary Kay, when do you think the decision was made to part ways with Kevin Stefanski?
Oh, it seems like it had been coming for probably a number of weeks. I don't think this was something that they just really decided to do the day, you know, the day after the season or anything like that. I think they had been discussing it probably for 3 or 4 weeks, and then they finally came to their conclusion. And I'm sure that Kevin probably knew before that Bengals game that he was gone.
Mary Kay, clearly Andrew Berry had something to do in the decision making to move on from Kevin Stefanski. When do you think he leapfrogged Kevin in the power structure? Because the thought was always they both answered to Jimmy Haslam. You know, Andrew's not Kevin's boss. Well, as it turns out, he did have some say as to whether he returned or not.
You know, that's hard to say. I don't know if I would characterize it as leapfrogging him or anything like that. I think the Browns felt that Andrew Berry supplied the football team with enough talent to win football games this year and maybe even broach contending. And if that didn't happen, and the way that I look at it is 2 games were lost by special teams alone, the Bengals and the Jets game. So that would have gotten you to 7 right there. And then there were a couple of other games where there was just 1 or 2 breakdowns or weird things that happened at the end of the game. If those had gone the other way, you're looking at 9 victories. So I just don't think that this team was quite as far away as it seemed from being able to make a little bit of noise later in the season. And, you know, I just don't think that Kevin really should have taken the fall and the brunt of everything that happened this year.
Were you surprised that they just let one of them go? And what is the advantage of hanging on to a general manager, you know, when you let the head coach go? I thought it would be together either way, whether they were both going to stay or both going to go. But what's the advantage now of making sure that Andrew Berry is now the lead dog?
Well, they didn't come in together either. I mean, they came in the same year, but it's not like one of them hired the other one or anything like that. They came in.
Or that they didn't work for each other, right, Mary Kay? That they both reported to Jimmy Haslam.
Right.
Okay.
So, you know, so this was not something where they were joined at the hip from the start. This was always a situation where, you know, you could part with one or the other, and they were not a package deal necessarily. So, yeah, I don't really think that, you know, they had to both either stay or go or whatever the case may be. I don't really have a problem with the organization deciding to do one or the other. I just feel like Kevin deserved a chance to work with a good quarterback over a period of time, somebody that he felt comfortable with. I think he's a really good coach. I think he's going to go on to have tremendous success. I think he might even be back in a head coaching chair by this season. And I think if he gets the right quarterback and the right situation for himself, I think he's going to go very, very far with the team.
I think we're all in agreement on that. And we certainly wish him nothing but the best. If you're the Browns, look, there are a couple of guys out there with long track records. John Gruden, if he's hireable for the NFL, Mike McCarthy. Would you think they would go for an established guy, Mary Kay? Would they try to go for a guy who did not do well in his first run as a head coach? Or would they try and get lucky with the coordinator du jour?
I think it's going to come down to who Andrew Berry feels most comfortable working with and who he feels can take this team to the next level and this roster to the next level. And it's a roster that's going to have a lot of young players on it. There will be another probably 10, 11 young guys, rookies, coming onto this football team next year. So it's got to be a guy who knows how to develop rookies and be really great at teaching and developing. So I think that's very important. I don't think they're going to look at whether they have head coaching experience or whether they're on the offensive side of the ball or the defensive side of the ball. I don't think those things are going to matter. I think they're going to choose a leader of men and someone that they believe can take this roster where they want it to go, which of course is to the playoffs as soon as possible. I personally think that when you have the defense set the way that they do with Jim Schwartz, it seems to me that your next move should probably be to get the offense in the same kind of shape with the same kind of successful person on that side of the ball. But it doesn't mean that there's only one way to go about this. You could hire Jim Schwartz and make this work. You can hire a defensive head coach from outside and make this work with the right coordinators. So there's so many ways to go about it. I don't think that that they are painting themselves into a corner with the type of background they want the guy to have.
Do you have a favorite here then? Do you have somebody that you're like, you know what, this would be the perfect person for this job?
Right now I don't. I haven't even had time to really look it over yet and think about exactly who I would want or whatever. But usually by the time I get towards the end of a search, I have a pretty good idea of who I think would be the best candidate. I'm not there yet. I don't even know exactly who they're going to be interviewing yet. We've heard names. I've heard Mike McCarthy. I've heard Brian Flores. I've heard a number of other names, but I don't know exactly who's on the list yet. So until we have a better idea of that, I think it's hard to handicap them.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us. Coverage of the Browns situation all on Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. It does a great job and all the in-depth material you're going to have. John Gruden's in his early 60s now. He hasn't coached since 2021. Does anybody take a shot at John, or do you think that his past and everything that's happened will keep him out of this loop?
It's hard to say. I do think there's a world in which he will get some opportunities and some looks. Not really sure yet. I've talked to a couple of people connected with that situation. And I do think that, that there is some optimism that perhaps some people will kind of take a chance on him and give him some looks this cycle. But not exactly sure yet. I haven't seen anything lined up per se. But there's a lot going on right now.
Well, I know this is kind of, it happens every time a head coach gets fired, but what do you think they think of the coaching staff that's here right now, and how do they prioritize trying to get some of these guys to stay? Or is it just a matter of you let the head coach come in and they figure out what they want?
I think the priority is to figure out who your head coach is, and then you go from there. And I'm pretty sure it seems like they're going to give Jim Schwartz an interview and a really great opportunity to get this job. We know that the defensive players would love for that to happen. And I guess it's just a matter of, do you go that route or do you go with more of an offensive coach or more of a head coach type of person and then try to still keep Jim around as defensive coordinator? But we know how they feel about Jim, and we know that they want to keep him one way or the other.
Could Miles throw his weight around a little bit and try to tip the scale towards Schwartz?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that he probably already has done that. I mean, he did it basically with us when we talked to him on Friday. So he definitely has endorsed Jim Schwartz, as has Denzel and some other guys in the locker room. They love their defensive coordinator, and he is truly, truly a leader of men and all of those kinds of things. It's just a matter if the Browns want him in that role or if they feel that he would be best served here remaining as their defensive coordinator.
Mary Kay, explain the coordinator contract situation. Tommy Reese and Jim Schwartz, they are under contract here, correct?
Right. Yeah, they're under contract, and they would have to, if anyone else wants to hire them, obviously they would have to get permission from the Browns to interview them and all those kinds of things. But yes, they're still under contract.
Do you think there's any world in which the Browns pin a coordinator on a coaching candidate?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think that they're going to give their new head coach the leeway, the jurisdiction to hire his own staff and to also have, as Andrew stated yesterday, a say in who the quarterback is going to be. And I think that's important. I think that's really important because when you get that synergy going between the head coach and the quarterback, that's when the magic starts to happen. So they have to let him have that. And that's why I think you saw Andrew say yesterday that, you know, they're open-minded at quarterback. That's job number one. And he was not ready to commit to Shedeur Sanders as the starter. You can't do that when you don't have your head coach yet. You can't make a head coach work with a quarterback. You have to let that unfold naturally, and he has to be 100% on board with whoever it's going to be.
So can you read into the fact that he was noncommittal yesterday about him moving forward, especially knowing that Deshaun Watson's still here? I mean, he's still here. He hasn't gone anywhere.
I think it just means we want our head coach to have a say in the quarterback. They want to get some outside thoughts on the situation. And I'm sure as they go through their coaching interviews that they are going to get and solicit input onto what some of these coaches feel about Shedeur Sanders as the Browns' possible quarterback of the future. Because sometimes during these interviews, it's more than just an interview for the head coaching job. Sometimes it's fact-finding and things that you can glean about other situations, and I think that they'll probably do that.
All right, now that we have a chance to digest this, what do you think happened with Kevin, with Gabriel and Sanders and Pickett and Flacco? Like, it, to me, and I think I've said this to you before, it just felt like things went sideways when they traded Flacco. And that kind of came up in the press conference yesterday, too. What happened with the quarterback situation this year? Like, Jeff and I still sit here, like, I don't understand what they were doing with Pickett. That didn't make any sense to me. And then it felt like when Joe was gone, that kind of ripped Kevin's heart out a little bit.
Now, especially when you give him two rookie quarterbacks and wish him luck.
And then say, let's go. And then, I mean, I understand the whole coaching philosophy of not giving a backup any time during practice, but how often do head coaches, are they stuck with two rookie quarterbacks? Can you explain any of it?
Well, first of all, people seem to forget that Joe Flacco had already been benched by the time
Absolutely.
He was traded. The team had been turned over to Dylan Gabriel at that point, and it wasn't coming back. They were not going back to a veteran after that. It became rookie ball, so it was either going to be Dylan or Shedeur Sanders thereafter. They were not going back to Joe Flacco.
Sure.
So you're right. The question was asked yesterday, Kevin didn't know that his starting quarterback was traded. Well, he knew that his benched quarterback was traded. I mean, like, this was not the starter of the Cleveland Browns. It just wasn't. And he was also signed in April, almost a little bit as an afterthought. So Joe Flacco was not supposed to be the starting quarterback of this football team this year. That kind of happened because Kenny Pickett suffered the hamstring. Dylan Gabriel wasn't ready at the beginning of the season. And so they went to Joe. And when they traded him, he had already been benched. And they were, in addition to, getting a draft pick out of it, I think they were giving Joe an opportunity to go and play some football and not have to sit around on their bench for the rest of the year.
I get it. I think the bigger question I have, and I'll say it, we all know backup quarterbacks don't get reps, but man, when Kevin knew he had to go to two rookie quarterbacks, you would think that he would try to get Shedeur some kind of practice time, knowing what happened against Baltimore. I mean, they threw him out there cold.
Well, that is one thing, and I'm on record as stating this, is that I do feel like they should have found a way to get Shedeur Sanders some reps, a few reps here and there, carve out a few, and there aren't many ever for the backup quarterback, but obviously he needed a few. By the time he got to being one play away from having to go into a football game, you've got to start having your camaraderie and timing down with some of those guys, and they were not able to do that or decided not to do that for whatever reason, and then I think it's pretty remarkable that he did as well as he did and that they got him up to speed as well as they did once he got thrown in there, you know, as the starter versus the Raiders.
Mary Kay, a couple of things with the quarterback talk from Andrew Berry yesterday, and I thought he actually did tell us some things when he said we're going to do our work in the quarterback market. Can't tell you if the starter is internal or external, and the new coach will have input. But then later on, he dropped in the words external veteran options. Is that telling?
Well, I do think it's telling because I really don't think that is super high on their list, or at least wasn't super high on their list until this point. And now I think, once again, they are leaving their options open for the new head coach. They don't want to tell the new head coach, you have to start a rookie quarterback or you have to start Shedeur Sanders. I think they want the new head coach to have a say in how this is going to go. And if he looks at this whole thing and says, I need this person to win or this kind of quarterback to win, then I think they're going to try to accommodate him. So when you are trying to attract a quality head coach in the NFL, you don't want to prescribe the quarterback situation for him. You want to leave that open. So right now, every single thing is on the table.
Mary Kay, does it feel like the future is brighter or about the same or backwards right now?
Well, first of all, I think they have a championship caliber defense. We've been saying that all season long. I don't think that's changing. I think Carson will get better. Mason will get better. I just think that the defense will continue to be really, really good next year. They have said they're going to overhaul the offense. That's where their resources are going to go. We know they're going to rebuild the offensive line. So I think the team is going to be significantly better next year because a lot of those rookies that were on offense this year, they're going to be better. And then they're going to put their money where their mouth is. They're going to buy some offensive linemen. They'll maybe trade for some. They'll draft some. So that will be a complete overhaul there. And then I think you'll see an upgraded receiving core and a few other things. So once they do that, I think they're going to be a better football team. Of course, the number one thing, and they said this yesterday, is that they have to find the quarterback. And I don't think there are too many players on this football team that have the stomach for a whole bunch of losing next year. So I don't think they can head into next season wondering if they can win games with their prospective quarterback. They have to know that they can go out there week one and beat whoever it is they're playing.
And kind of lost in the shuffle yesterday, you talk about knowing if they want to come back. Joel Bitonio yesterday, I thought that, you know, if we weren't going through a coaching change, that would have been the moment of the day yesterday. Just your thoughts on that.
Very emotional. That was very emotional to have covered Joel all of these years, 12 years, to have him stand up in front of us the way that he does every single week and just to be there for his team, for the media, for the community. It was truly emotional. And, you know, I was one of the people watching him tear up like that, that had a hard time not tearing up myself. I have to say that I did tear up myself. It was really something to see that. And he's just been tremendous. I cannot imagine a Browns locker room without Joel Bitonio or a Browns offensive line without Joel Bitonio. So I've told him in no uncertain terms that he has to come back. And I'm sure he will take my words to heart.
Yes.
But I asked Joe Thomas last year what he would say to Joel Bitonio while he was trying to figure out what to do. And he said, I would tell him to stay as long as he possibly can, because you cannot find this feeling anywhere else. And I also think that Joel Bitonio played at a very, very high level this year. And as long as his body can handle it physically and they take steps to rest him during the week and things like that, I think he's got another year in him. Just to see his reaction yesterday, maybe it's not going to go that way, but I think he can squeeze another year out of that body.
We shall see. You can feel the emotion through the radio. Thank you, Mary Kay. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Mary Kay.
Sure. Thanks, guys.
Take care. Mary Kay Cabot, Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Make sure you read her every day. And, of course, she was on the Make It Right, Call Kyle Wright hotline. Time.
I need this person to win or this kind of quarterback to win, then I think they're going to try to accommodate him. So when you are trying to attract a quality head coach in the NFL, you don't want to prescribe the quarterback situation for him. You want to leave that open. So right now, every single thing is on the table.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. That was Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. She just joined us, and we were just discussing yesterday the press conference from Andrew Berry being very noncommittal about the quarterback situation. I'm asking you, folks that think Shedeur Sanders should be the starting quarterback next year, what you thought of that. What did you think of what Mary Kay just said? But more in particular, what did you think of what Andrew Berry said yesterday? We'll play that for you in a second. Do you have high hopes then that Shedeur will be the starting quarterback for next season? I'm like in limbo land. I'm not going to say, yes, I think he should be the starting quarterback, nor am I going to say, no, he shouldn't be the starting quarterback next year. I don't know. I know that I hate looking at the numbers because his QBR, not good. His stats, not good, if you want to look at it from that perspective. But I saw things on the field that make me want to erase a lot of those feelings when I look at stats and say, rookie, team didn't really have him prepared when he had the opportunity to go out there and do what he needed to do. And I thought he got a little bit better in every game. Yeah, there were some times where he took a step back, but there are reasons to be intrigued for next year. So I'm in the middle. I'm not going to tell you that I'm a sitting and go, yeah, Shedeur Sanders should be the starting quarterback next year, but I can't make a really great argument to say he shouldn't be. So here it is, and will it be up to the next head coach? And, you know, what do you think? I mean, your general manager yesterday was very, very, I want to say it, non-committal. Obtuse is the word I was going to use because we were talking about Shawshank Redemption. But
that was cheap.
What was?
Dropping in obtuse because we were just talking about Shawshank.
Well, I'm sorry. I mean, it's a word that
It's a fighting word.
Would you have ever used that word before you saw the movie?
Yes.
Really? Dan Menigan, would you have ever used the word obtuse without seeing the movie Shawshank Redemption?
No, and I immediately want to send you to a month in the hole.
Oh, well, that's not bad. You know why? Hey. Because every day is like crawling through that pipe.
Can we hear what Andrew Berry said about Shedeur before I make my comment?
Are you down with that or what?
That was funny.
No
that's
comment.
Pretty good.
Nothing. You can't come
good.
Back on anything.
Okay. I give it to you.
Thank you.
Can we hear what Berry had to say before I give you my thought?
Jeff would like to hear what Andrew
said. Okay, just because Jeff asked so politely.
Yes, he did.
We saw a lot of progress with Shedeur this year. I think that's both mentally, physically, playing the position. He's still very much a work in progress, like many rookie quarterbacks are. But I think we saw some really good things in terms of, you know, his playmaking, his accuracy, his ability to extend with his feet. And I think I'd also give him credit, as well as our offensive staff, for bringing him along in terms of his pocket management, you know, his situational awareness and things of that nature. Now, that all being said, you know, we're going to do our work on the quarterback markets too. Important of a position, and it's something that has to be solidified. I can't sit here and tell you today, you know, whether the solution for or the starter in 2026 is internal or external, but it's something that we're going to work through, you know, over the next several weeks. And quite honestly, the new head coach will also have a lot of input into that as well.
Those comments were the most refreshing comments I thought of the day.
I think if you think Shedeur Sanders should be the starting quarterback, you think those are the most nerve-wracking comments of the day.
Okay. Let me explain why I say what I said there.
Okay.
If Andrew Berry watched Shedeur play this year and go into a press conference the day you fire the coach and say, yes, he's our starting quarterback, then I'm wondering what he's looking at. What you said, I agree with. I saw a lot of things I thought were really good. I saw some things that I thought, okay, if they keep working with that and build on that, he might be able to be a good starting quarterback in the NFL. And I also saw stuff, boy, if you don't get that taken care of, you're done. And I'm glad Andrew Berry kind of saw the same type of things. If Andrew Berry had said yesterday, yep, he's our number one quarterback, he's the guy. First of all, it kills you in a coaching search, perhaps, if that coach doesn't want Shedeur Sanders as a quarterback. And number two, I mean, we saw it. There were moments that were really good, and there were moments that were just awful. And, you know, I keep hearing the word accuracy. I can't wait to see it on the football field because we didn't see it on the football field this year.
I think we saw glimmers of it.
Sure.
Glimmer.
Well, guess what?
Yeah.
He was 48th in completion percentage, which means we see glimmers of accuracy from every NFL quarterback. The point is to become accurate on a consistent basis. And hopefully he can get there. But I would have, and yesterday it was said on the show, it wasn't you or me, it was one of our guests, that they didn't want to see a quarterback competition this year. That they kind of wanted to see a number one quarterback in place before you even went to training camp. Well, that means you're going to have to go get somebody then.
Really? Because somebody in that building may think Deshaun Watson is that.
Well, guy. That's the only other option.
And they said they were happy with his progress yesterday.
Perhaps a new head coach comes in, watches OTAs, minicamp, all that stuff, and they determine, well, this is our guy. This is the best quarterback we have, and names a starter before training camp. And maybe it's somebody who's here. Because as Andrew Berry said, we don't know if it's internal or external right now. Well, a new coach will figure that out. But I would think you're going to give him some type of an external option. And the words that he said, external veteran option. That to me was like ding, ding, ding.
What kind of?
Did everybody miss that? Because those, I thought, were three of the key words of the entire day. External veteran option. Mac Jones? Malik Willis? Carson Wentz? Daniel Jones, injury and all? who, even though he wants to go back to the Colts.
Yeah, I'm also curious to wonder the pressure that Kevin had to play any one of the quarterbacks.
And where did the pressure come from?
Yeah.
Did it come from ownership? Did it come from Andrew Berry?
Did it cost him his job?
Maybe.
I mean, it would be easy to say when they were losing early in there, just get Sanders out there. Let's just see what he can do. Because I felt that way. I didn't feel like they were going anywhere with Gabriel, but I wasn't. If he would have come back with Gabriel again, would it have been boring football? Probably. But I don't know if that's on Gabriel, if that was on Kevin.
You know, I wasn't crazy about the drafting of either one of the quarterbacks.
Right.
But I would like to see more of Sanders, and I would like to see more of Gabriel. The one question I have about Dylan Gabriel, and if you've listened to our show at all and you've heard me talk about quarterbacks, you know I prefer a quarterback who's taller and heavier because those guys get beat up.
Yep.
I mean, they get hit, and you've got to take a hit. I mean, Baker has had the snot beat out of him. You know, Deshaun's not the biggest guy. He's had the snot beat out of him. And Dylan Gabriel's smaller than both of those guys. But I'll forever wonder, okay, was Dylan just throwing short like crazy because that's all he can do at the NFL level? Or is it because that's what they called for him to do? I don't know the answer to that. So I'm hoping a new coach comes in and takes a good look at all these guys. Wouldn't it stun everybody if a new coach comes in and says, by God, we love Dylan Gabriel. He's going to be our guy. Wouldn't that stun everybody?
Especially the people who pick up the phones in Berea to sell tickets.
Sell tickets.
Yeah, I don't know that.
See, that's
Dylan. You got to look past that.
Dylan got a bad deal. Not that he should be the guy, but
if you think Shedeur Sanders should be the starting quarterback of this team next year, I'm wondering how you're feeling today because you got nothing yesterday. You got non-committal for next year.
Isn't that what his play kind of earned, though?
If you think Shedeur Sanders should be the starting quarterback next year, no questions asked, what did you think of Andrew Berry being noncommittal? 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Thank you for being on board. Are you on board with our next topic here? Because you heard what the Browns said yesterday about the quarterback situation. It's back up in the air. You don't have a starting quarterback. Is that a fair assessment based on what Andrew said yesterday?
Andrew said that.
Yeah, you do not have a starting quarterback right now as we head into the offseason.
I can't tell you if the 2026 starter is internal or external, and the new head coach will have input.
So if you are a Shedeur Sanders fan, how does that make you feel right now? How are you? Are you digging what he said? You're like, good. Shador's going to go out and win that job. He's going to say Shador's going to go out and win that job, and it's his, and he's going to go grab it, and he's going to take it.
Sock it to me, Andy.
There you go.
I'm digging it.
Are you done? I'm trying to think of any non-Goldie Hawn reference I can make right now.
But, Mama, I'm just talking about Shaft.
I need a button that says Uncle. Uncle. 216-474-0092. Jeff, let's hear what the people have to say. Cleveland's in Cleveland.
The people.
Cleveland, how are you? Are people that call our show Cleveland. Need a name, right? They need a name. It's been 14 years.
Our lovable listeners.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, Cleveland.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I was thinking what Mary Kay had said earlier, talking about the how bad the offensive line was and how they were going to, you know, try to overhaul it at best, except for one guy that she said she wanted back. So if that's the case, how does that tell how these young quarterbacks that we had were able to fare all year with something like that that they had to deal with? And I'll listen to you guys.
Wait, Cleve, just ask that again because it was a little muffled for me.
No, it's this.
Oh, okay.
He said,
thanks, Cleve.
What Cleveland was saying was, okay, how do you get a good evaluation on two young quarterbacks when the offensive line wasn't very good for most of the year?
I could throw in the wide receivers, too.
Sure. And he's right. How do you? That's probably part of the reason why I can't tell you if the 2026 starter is internal or external. I don't think you got a good enough look at Dylan Gabriel, and I don't think you got a good enough look at Shedeur Sanders. I don't. And
do you think ownership would disagree with you saying that he thought the roster was good enough to win?
Well, I don't think
he had. I don't think he could have said anything other than what he did say yesterday.
Yeah, he couldn't have said, we had a bad roster. Well, then why'd you keep the guy who put it together?
That's right. Better to take the heat on that one. Yeah.
Why'd you keep the guy? I don't think you got a good enough look at either one of those quarterbacks. Now, which one do I think has a better chance to be a, let's just say, which one has a better chance to be a middle of the pack or above average NFL starting quarterback?
Shador.
It's Shador.
Yeah,
it's Shador.
And that's the bottom. That you're saying that could be the bottom. I think there's a higher ceiling than what you're saying.
I hope so. Okay. I'd be surprised.
If you make him the starting quarterback, you better hope there's a bigger ceiling.
I'd be surprised. From what I saw, he looks like a guy who could be a competent NFL quarterback.
Okay.
You know who I would, and if he could reach this level, congratulations. I think it would
Sam Darnold.
Phenomenal. Jared Goff.
Okay.
Jared Goff. They both have okay mobility. They both have pretty good arms, and when they have talent around them, they can do the job. I think if Shador could reach Jared Goff level, outstanding, and that would be great for the franchise.
I think Shador's mobility could get significantly better now that he knows the league a little bit more and that he can understand the speed. Yeah,
I don't know.
I think he'll some of the mistakes
and
that
he
made.
Bad. I mean, his mobility was okay.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That some of his the mistakes you may have seen on mobility, like diving forward or just little things here and there. I think part of that is being a rookie. And I think that he'll understand when he'll be in a spot where his mobility will be a huge advantage if he can move forward.
Yeah.
He's got to have the right guys around him. He's got to have the offensive line. He needs help at wide receiver. And he needs someone that's going to coach him up a little bit. Even he admitted, I mean, it doesn't matter that it was his dad or not, but when you have the same coach all the way through, sometimes it's better to hear a different voice. And I'm not saying anything bad against Deion, but I do think that anyone that's ever played for multiple coaches in their life or in their career in any sport at any level know that you're going to get different things from different people. And while his dad may be one of the best athletes we've ever watched play any sport, it's still good to hear things from other people. And I think Shador addressed that over the weekend. He's like, you know what? I'm getting used to it. You know, it's not the same voice that I've been hearing for my entire career.
Life.
And again, that goes back into being a rookie. Forget the last name, being a rookie.
Dano, you think there's anything to that Jared Goff thought I had?
I could see it.
Yeah.
I always thought that when anybody would ask me, where do you think his ceiling is, I always said Diet Joe Burrow. That's what I've always seen with him, with his ceiling. Where it's basically, it's not as good as Joe Burrow. It's not going to be the anticipation and all that kind of stuff. But he reminds me of Joe Burrow. And kind of the diet version of it.
And that might be Jared
Goff. Might be Jared Goff, yeah. Diet Joe Burrow might be Jared Goff. You're right.
It just all depends on how it tastes, right?
Less filling.
Yeah, tastes great.
You win.
All right, thank you.
Unless all the artificial sweeteners get you.
Oh, come on. Rodney's in Litchfield. Hey, Rodney.
Hi, Rodney.
I'll tell you guys, here's the way I look at it. A new coach, I don't see them hiring anybody that's been around the block a few times. And I'm just going to throw, you know, Pete Carroll out. And I'm not saying I want these guys. I'm just saying guys like that, the guy from Baltimore. I don't think they'll hire somebody like that because I don't think they want anybody in the building that's smarter than them. And that's the way I feel. That's what I've seen the last 5 years. I think Stefanski's hands was tied. I don't think Stefanski was the answer. I agree with what Jeff said earlier. There was play calling. There was things that happened. Pre-snap penalties. I'd like to have something. They got all these stats, all these pre-snap penalties. Was it because we had 15 different linemen all year with four different quarterbacks?
It's possible.
If that was the case, then there's an answer behind it.
Let me ask you something. When you say smarter than them, who are you saying? Who is the them? Jimmy Haslam?
Oh, definitely Haslam's.
Okay.
And Andrew Barry.
Haslam's had to make the choice on Watson or somebody would be fired right now.
True. And I'm not going to argue that
Stefanski
at all.
This year.
And somebody was, and you can be sure Stefanski's not the guy who made that call.
And the guy that left the building, DeBasio or whatever. I'm just
Deep
telling
Podesta.
You what I'm – yeah, exactly. What I'm telling you what I see. I'm telling you what the average fan sees, people that watch the games. We've got a bigger problem than our head coach, even though he may have been part of the problem. I'm telling you, a guy leading a team right now, look at what happened to Ohio State. Look what happened to Aaron Rodgers 2 weeks ago. if you don't have a good offensive line and you don't protect a quarterback and they don't have time to throw the ball, you don't have a good football team.
Fair enough. I'll buy that.
Yeah, did Justin Fan all of a sudden turn into a bad quarterback against Miami? That's what people were reporting.
I just think he became a young, nervous quarterback in that championship game, which is something we haven't seen all year. We really haven't.
And Aaron Rodgers became a young, nervous quarterback 2 weeks ago with Myles Garrett running after him. We have no reason.
Rodney, thank you, Rodney. Appreciate it.
To quote our buddy Austin Carr,
mm-hmm.
What does pressure do, Andy?
Cooks.
Burst the pipes.
Do you think the pressure burst the pipes on Aaron Rodgers against the Browns 2 weeks ago?
Oh, didn't help him, and he did it.
No, but I still think the play calling was like, it was just too finite for what Miles was trying to accomplish. And I think that they put aside, plus they had a million injuries. You didn't have DK Metcalf.
Yeah, wide receiver one, Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I'll tell you all you need to know there.
You tell me this, Packer fan Dan. Did you think Aaron Rodgers was scared against the Browns?
No. He's been getting the ball quick the entire season. Did the same thing against the Ravens.
Yeah, I'm just
Ravens. No, but what does pressure do? Can we go Ernie Accorsi here? Remember when the former GM of the Browns and Giants was on our show?
Do we have David Bowie and Queen? Can we cue that up, please? Thank you.
No, you remember what he said, though? He said there are three things in building a football team. A quarterback, protect the quarterback, get to the quarterback. It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
And guess what? The Browns have one of the three.
Yeah, one for three.
That's not good.
Nope.
Nelson's in Avon. Hi, Nelson.
Hi, Nelson.
That one might be a double or a home run.
That's true.
Hey, guys. What a 24 hours, huh?
It's a great
day.
It's the Browns.
Browns are the gift that keeps on giving. And and to keep up with the Shawshank theme, hope is a good thing, right?
Yeah.
That's a great line. Great movie, too, by the way.
So was Brooks was here.
Yeah, I know. we all thought, right, I think we can all agree that the quarterback situation or setup this year for the Browns was at best peculiar.
Yes.
I would say
good word.
That Shador, I would say that in my opinion, Shador has at least earned himself the opportunity to compete for the gig. I don't see franchise quarterback on Shador, and you guys were talking comps. I don't know why. I think Geno Smith when I think of Shador for whatever reason, although I think Goff is a pretty good comp too.
If he can get there.
That's right. If he can get there, right? But in my humble, I don't think that the quarterback for 2026 is on the roster. I get the sense that they're going to go if they can. And I have a question here, like a Mac Jones type of route. But I heard Barry talked peculiarly, made a comment about cap flexibility at the beginning of the new season. What would that do? Because Deshaun Watson's contract is still on the books, right? So
for one more year.
And if we have all these other holes that we have on the roster, how are we going to fill all those holes? Assuming that we're going to build an offensive line with a bunch of free agents, where's the money going to come from to get a guy like Mac Jones, who I think earned himself some decent money or the opportunity to earn more money next year because of the way he played at San Francisco. But, hey, guys, thanks for the time as always.
All right, Nelson. Well, let's ask Paul DePodesta where the money's going to – oh, wait a minute. That part of his gig?
Or according to our former – another caller, former Mayor Bill de Blasio.
All I know is Bobby DiBiase or the Guardians almost drew off the road. Hey, it's close enough to my name.
Bobby D is getting all kinds of coverage here. Last one. He never realized that he was going to cross over to football, but he finally got his wish.
DiBiasio, there's a D there.
Bobby, maybe the $1 million man will find the money.
Oh yeah,
got enough money to pay Andre the Giant. He could do this one.
I like it. All right, let me take
Ted DiBiase.
Let me take one more. Jake's in Parma. Hi, Jake.
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on? I got about a minute, man.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the advanced metrics on Shador Sanders. A lot of people don't talk about his time to throw. He had 3.09 seconds, which was number one ranking of all quarterbacks in the NFL, and then his EPA, which was basically what he's responsible for points in the game, ranked 75th out of 79 eligible quarterbacks that played.
What so you're saying that he wasn't at the bottom is what you're saying?
Yeah,
you're saying there's hope.
Yeah, there's a chance, as they say. But, yeah, with the future outlook, I think what the previous callers said, I don't think our quarterback's on the roster either. And, you know, a lot of the quarterback play might have just come down to offensive scheme. And, I mean, there was consistent through the last, like, 13 quarterbacks, you know, and that's pretty much where I stand. So it could be the coach, or maybe Shador has a flash in the pan, or I don't think any of the quarterbacks have reached their potential under Stefanski.
Gotcha.
And that's how,
all right, Jake, thank you. Appreciate it. That's the advanced metrics. I didn't know that. And Dan, normally you're on that stuff too. I didn't realize he had that long to hang on to the ball.
I think PJ Walker reached his potential.
Number two was Caleb Williams on that list.
It's not good. All right, let's roll on with this.
Either
again.
Or he just held the ball too long.
He held the ball too long.
Yeah.
Well, it's, I mean, there's two ways to look at it.
Blocking was there.
Yeah, that's true,
too. He just held it too long.
Oh, now I'm perplexed.
But, Andy,
Jeff,
that's a rookie quarterback, and there's room for growth. I mean,
that's true.
Seriously, let's hope he figures that out.
James Palmer from The Athletic is going to join us in the next hour. I'm still curious where you think this quarterback situation is going to go, knowing that your general manager, who's leading the charge to get you a new head coach, didn't have a lot of confidence in the quarterbacks currently on the roster, and that includes Shador. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.